take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I never get tired of that beat, that intro, that thing that's called fantasy sports and politics. I love that. It just gets to me. It really does. It's me. It's Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner, the place to be doing it because I do it for you all day, every day, and I am so very happy. Now, last week I wasn't here. Oh, yes, I was. I was, but I wasn't feeling it, but I was. So, you feel me? Anyway, on today's episode of Fantasy Sports Podcast, you will listen to and hear about me and hopefully my co-host JTAT and Money discussing the New York Knickerbockers. Yes, the New York Knicks. What's going on with them? Is Phil Jackson going to take a front office spot? Will the head coach be relieved of his duties? Will Carmelo Anthony return? Carmelo, I should say. Anthony. And if he returns, hi, la, la. I'm just saying. We're going to hear from Wichita State's player in reference to heading into the tourney undefeated. They got the semifinals today in their Southwestern Valley Conference, I believe it is. And let's just be honest. They're going to win that. They're going to go undefeated, and they're going to go to the tourney. Will they be number one? Will they be number one in the NCAA tournament? March Madness, guys, is right here. Will Wichita State be number one? That's another topic we're going to discuss today. Also, we're going to hear from Albert Pujols, his thoughts about the young and upcoming outfielder that he works with named Mike Trout. Get his thoughts on him. Also, we're going to have our boy, our guy, our beat reporter, Mike Blackwright. He's going to bring us an interview after one of our favorite guests who comes on the air a lot, Mike, yes, indeed, Reed. There was a fight that he headlined last night, and he's going to talk about it. And hopefully today we will have Darryl Tewksbee Cooley along with Corey T-Rex Sanders coming on the air, postponed from Thursday, supposed to be coming on today. It'll be Darryl's second appearance on the show. So hopefully we get him on. He and Corey can talk about it. Both ex-professional boxers. I actually played high school football versus Corey when he was at Roosevelt in D.C. and I was at Dunbar. And the kid, I honestly think the guy could have been a beast in the NFL, but he chose boxing. And that's one thing I want to ask him when he comes on the air. What made him decide to go to boxing as opposed to do 1 year or so at a college and go to the NFL and be a first-round draft pick? I don't know if that's so Cedric or not, but we're going to talk about it. But right now I got my co-host, JC ATM Money, in the background. I think he's tiring up Jermichael Finley and some other folks in his van making all that noise. What's going on, JC?
Not much, man. I'm working. I'm trying to make that money. So, I tell you. I probably won't be on too long. In fact, I just wanted to call you and let you know what's going on. I'm extremely busy. I'm working the whole weekend, believe it or not. 7 days a week, man. I got 15 jobs just like them Jamaicans, man.
Hey, you do what you got to do to pay them bills. I'm trying to find us somebody that will take care of us
So you ain't got to do but one. But I don't know how that's going to work out, guy. I got to hit Powerball or Mega Millions. And a guarantee you, if I hit Powerball, Mega Millions, or both, you, Jeff, Black, y'all never have to work again.
Ooh.
Except
you heard that, people. You heard that, people. It's on the air. It's in
hey. Hey, ain't no need. I'm not going to back down from that because we're going to have
okay.
our own radio program, and we're going to do it big. I'm not joking. I
okay.
just need a little help. So talk to God. Tell him let Vic win Powerball, Mega Millions, or both, and make it happen.
I hear you.
So,
I'm wishing the same on you, man. I'm wishing the same for myself. So, and you got to take care of, too. Hit the huge $250 million. Whatever
all
it is.
I need is a couple. All I need is a couple. Couple mm-hmm. mil to make it through. And the rest I can invest and take care of the families. Anyway.
Okay.
Since you're not going to be here
anyway.
Long, I'm going to.
I'm not going to be here long. You're right. I'm going to try to call back probably after 2 o'clock, between 2 and 2:30. Hopefully you'll have our guests on, and then I can jump in there and listen to the conversation and maybe add a thing or two.
Well, can I get your one thoughts on this one situation with
sure.
The New York Knickerbockers?
What, asking about, inquiring about the availability of Phil Jackson?
Well, let's hear what Steve Broussard has to say, and then I'll let you jump in, okay?
Sure.
You'd have to say it's a less than 50% chance for sure. Now, Phil is interested in running a team. We know he was going to do that in Seattle if the Kings had moved there. He's talked to other people, other teams over the last few years about doing that.
So, do you think Phil Jackson will come in and run the New York Knicks? And if
I don't
so,
want to.
If well, hold on. And if so, who would you think he would pick as his head coach?
First of all, he's never built a team. He's always had a team in place, and he just took it over. So, he's never actually built a team, so you're just guessing on because of what he's done as a coach, not as a front office person picking personnel for a coach. And as a coach, oh my God, maybe Brian Shaw, impossible. He's got to have somebody that's going to run the type of system that he likes. So. Brian Shaw is probably the first and only guy I can think of off the top of my head right now.
Okay, well, Brian's in Denver, so I don't know how that's going to work. But
right.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But just quick on it, and I know you got to go, and I'm going to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a good idea to put butts in a seat and possibly maintain Carmelo. But the question then becomes, is Carmelo Anthony the type of player that Phil Jackson thinks can lead a franchise? You know, that's the question.
That's a big question. Does he see Carmelo as a guy that is not the type of guy that's going to fit into the system? Only Phil Jackson can tell you that. Only Phil Jackson can tell you that. So,
well, do you see anybody in this upcoming draft class, that you think Phil, as a general manager, would want to build a team around?
Noel.
Really?
What's the guy from Duke? I'm sorry, it's not Noel. What's the guy from?
Yeah,
Duke?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Really?
Maybe something like that. Yeah, because he's the first versatile guy, and Phil Jackson needs versatile players to play in that triangle. So, someone like that. I mean, Anytime you pick a somebody from college, you see what their ability is in college, but it's a crapshoot when they get into the pros. You'd like to think that they can be able to handle it, but you won't know until they actually get into the fire. So that's one guy off the top of my head I can think of that would probably be a type of guy that Phil Jackson would want to get on his team. But like I said, he's never built a team before. He's always had a team. And he's just been put in a situation to coach that team. So you don't know if he can actually build a team from scratch.
Well, you're right, but he does have a certain pedigree with winning. The
pedigree of coaching teams that have established stars on
Correct.
Or stars.
Right. I got it. But mm-hmm. I think he could find a way. I know Kobe just signed his extension, but I think he can mm-hmm. find a way to get Kobe to come to New York to finish his career.
Mm-hmm.
I really think he could.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All right. Oh, you got it. Well, I got to go for now, and like I said, I'll try to get back to you between 2 and 2:30. Hopefully the guys will call in by that time.
All right, guys. Enjoy
All right.
your day.
You do the same, man. Thanks.
Later. Ladies and gentlemen, that's ATM Money, the guy that pays the bills because he got to owe me money. My co-host, making his money because he's Jamaican, like that, working. He works hard for the money, so hard for the money. He works hard for the money, so he better pay me right. I said he can't hear it, so. Anyway. To expound a little bit on this New York Knickerbocker situation, you know, the report came out that Phil Jackson was offered a position to be the president, CEO of the organization, much like what Isaiah Thomas got, and we saw that work, and Isaiah actually came down and coached. I don't think that worked really well, but again, Phil is a different type of person than Isaiah. And Jerry is a New York Knickerbockers fan, so it was important for me to get his response on that. I think that the Knicks are in a great state of disarray, whereas Carmelo, you know, he's had the thing of playing at home. The novelty, there we go, the novelty of playing in front of a home town crowd, you know, from New York, all that good stuff. He's played there. He's got that out of his system. Now he wants to win. And can he be a second, third wheel on a team? Maybe. I think he actually flourishes when he's a second or third wheel, not the lead wheel. You know, there were hopes for him and Amari Stoudemire and Jeremy Lin and a couple other players when they were in New York. That quickly got blew up. Amari can't stay healthy. It's just a lot of different things going on in the state of New York or in the city of New York that begs the question, will the Knicks ever be the same? And I say no. I think the Knickerbockers are headed for a very, very hard and long rebuilding stage. Carmelo will not return. After Carmelo, you still have Amari Stoudemire, who has a healthy, who is not healthy, and he has a big contract. J.R. Smith, same deal. Sporadic. His issue is consistency. You got Tim Hardaway Jr., who can show some flash. Raymond Felton didn't
repeat last year's performance this year. You never know next year. Iman Shumpert got hurt, so he's done. So maybe next year. Maybe. And that's it. You have no real talent. At least to build off of. There's no real talent to build off of there. None. So there's going to have to be a draft-heavy New York Knickerbockers team next year, which equates to a lot of learning curves, which also equates to possibly a losing season and a season of despair. You have no one you can trade to get any real value. So, you know, you're going to have to entice free agents to come because of the city of New York. You can't guarantee that your boy Carmelo is going to be there. No guarantee at all. I just don't get it, guys. I just don't. But hey, who am I to judge? Who am I to discuss, you know, the New York Knickerbockers and their plan of action and how they plan to handle their impending coach change, organizational change? And I am about 99.97% sure superstar player change. I would love to have Carmelo call in and talk about it. Anybody from the organization call in and talk about it. If you want to call in on the Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com hotline, where winners, winner, players play, you can call 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. You can jump on board and get some information out. Talk to me. Let me hear what's on your mind. Normally, I don't talk about basketball because I don't like the pro game. I really don't. The pro game is not interesting to me unless, and you're probably going to find me a little crazy by saying this, unless it's like the Pacers, Memphis, my Wizards. All of them play good defense, good to excellent defense. So that tells me that they're playing hard all game, every game. And that's the secret here, that the NBA, unless it's the playoff push or playoff time, there's no defense. And when there's no defense, there's no excitement for me. I actually like watching the Spurs play because they can go up-tempo, they can slow it down, and they play defense. That's why Popovich is one of the best coaches in the NBA. New York, I'm sorry, with all your issues going on, and you don't play defense, and you barely play offense, you guys are stuck. I mean stuck. And it's going to be a while before you're able to rebuild, especially once Carmelo leaves. And I do believe Carmelo's going to leave. I really do. But right now, she's got a caller from the 202 calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where winners win and players play. So go there today and make some wagers. Let me bring them in. It's an unfamiliar number. Call from the 202. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
This is Carmelo Anthony's agent.
Black the Bookie Monster. What's his name, Martin, brother?
What's going on, my friend? This is Carmelo's agent. If I'm talking to Carmelo right now, I'm putting a little bug in his ear to just go ahead and sign with Chicago in the offseason.
What? Are you serious?
He's got a team that plays defense, and what is Chicago's problem? Atrocious offense. You look with the addition of Carmelo Anthony and the 50-50 Derrick Rose. You don't know if he's going to be all the way back or not. But those two components, with the way that team plays defense, Chicago could have something. They can land Melo.
Well, let's look at potential lineup here. Potential. And do they have the money? That's another thing. Do they have the money? Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, Joakim Noah, Carlos Boozer. And I don't even know who they got at the three, because Carmelo could play two. Or he moves down to three and put who? That young kid.
Gibbs.
Yeah, and I like Augustine. Augustine's been looking good too. So that would be a pretty good six-man group. Very good. I don't know if they got the money for it though.
You got to restructure Rose. He's not worth the money. You got to restructure Rose. If they're serious about trying to make a move in the Eastern Conference, they need to be calling Carmelo on the offseason.
Yeah.
I'm sure Coach Tibbs can get him to play defense.
Now, my question is, why wouldn't you want him down in D.C.?
No, we don't want him in D.C.
I want him in D.C. I want Lala.
I would also like to see Lala, but it's too close to Baltimore. I don't like players that play so close to home. Too many distractions.
Okay. Well, I was just talking about that, you know, going to New York, playing in New York, you know, he was there at Syracuse and so on and so forth.
I wouldn't take a pay cut to go run to Miami. I'm going to Chicago.
That would be, I mean, quite honestly, if he went to Chicago and Derrick Rose was there, even a 50% or 70 or 80% Derrick Rose along with Melo, you know, and Boozer and Joe Kim and Taj Gibson with Augustine and Heinrich and Dunleavy and maybe one other, you know, big man coming off the bench.
All hustle guys that play defense. That is the perfect scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that did not pop in my head until you said that. That is very interesting. Well, before we move on to Wichita State, because I was going to try to segue to that, I want to get your thoughts on this whole New York Knicks situation as far as Phil coming in and possibly becoming, you know, president and general manager and all this other stuff. And
I don't know about Phil Jackson's general manager skills. If they're not bringing him in as a coach, I don't know what they're going to do with him as a general manager. I haven't seen any evidence of him being a good general manager. Hell of a coach. Hall of Fame coach.
Well, that's what Jerry was saying, that, you know, he's always been handed a team to manage. He's never built a team. And my answer to that is, quite possibly, if he can lure Kobe, even though he signed an extension, if he can lure Kobe to New York to finish out his career, you know,
to New York?
Possibly. Or, and here's the other scenario, who in college right now do you think, if he were a general manager of the New York Knicks and had the number one overall pick, who do you think that Phil will be able to get to build a franchise around?
That's a good question. I haven't seen that many franchise guys this year in college basketball. I know guys like Andrew Wiggins. I'm impressed with Jabari Parker, the guy out of Duke. But as far as franchise, I don't really see a franchise player in this draft. Parker's good, though.
Well, that's what Jerry was saying. He called him Noel. He was thinking about Norris Cole, but yeah, Jabari Parker is a guy that he said is very versatile and somebody that could possibly build the Knicks around. And I was thinking and saying that after Carmelo leaves, New York really has no one to trade of value. So it'll be a reclamation project. You know, they have to get a fine way to get rid of Amar Stoudemire's contract.
That would be the same thing going on in L.A. as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Lakers are in turmoil as well. But, you know, that's...
I'm definitely not too impressed with Wiggins. They're actually on right now playing West Virginia. And that score is 61-39 right now in favor of West Virginia.
Yeah, I'm watching it too. Virginia is one of those teams that once they get an attorney, you just never know. Huggins, he knows what to do. But let's move on since we're talking about college basketball. I want to bring up Wichita State. You know, can they be the first undefeated team since the Running Rebels of UNLV to go into the tournament? And will they be the number one seed overall? So let's hear about their last game from one of their players. I believe his name is Marshall. On their last game they just had last night.
What's not to like? I mean, it's pretty fun. These guys are incredible to coach. They always get ready for the next game. I mean, maybe twice this year we were a little bit not ready, not on point coming out of the locker room. But by and large, I don't have to say anything. These guys have them ready coming out of the locker room because they're great leaders.
They'll be the first team to do that since the Rappers. That conference
now,
is not hard at all.
I agree with you on that, but my question then becomes because
as
I
far as the number one seed,
yeah.
As far as I got them in the slot at anywhere from 2 to 4. I don't see a number one seed, but anywhere from a 2 to a 4.
Really? So you don't think they can take the overall number one, nor will they be the number
they can't
one
do that. I don't see the committee doing it. I don't see the committee.
Well, right now,
as high as they'll go to me is a 2 seed. If they do go to a 1 seed, that'll be shocking to me because there's not a lot of value in that conference.
Here's a different question then. It shocked me while I was up in Washington State. I realized that Virginia was leading the ACC. If Virginia wins the ACC tournament, are they considered a number one seed?
I believe Virginia will be a number one seed. They can go – Virginia can go about 9 or 10 deep points. And that is a complete team.
Yeah, it is.
That is a complete team. I believe they can get the number one seed. But that's only if they win the tournament, only if they win the ACC tournament.
So where does that put Syracuse and Duke? Because that's three powerhouse teams right there. And Duke,
Syracuse, they're getting exposed right now. Everybody knows my Syracuse bias, but they're getting exposed right now. That really wasn't a real talented team coming into the season. I think they were overranked coming into the season. And this is a very good point guard. CJ Trey is a good forward, but those really are the two guys they have. Jeremy Grant, I know he was still injured. I don't know if he's back yet or not. Syracuse should be anywhere from a 2 to 4 seed as well.
So you don't think they have a chance of winning the tournament, though?
Nah, not with that team. Not the way it is. You got to depend on Trevor Cooney hitting threes. You got to depend on Ennis hitting threes. The zone, there's ways to beat that 2-3 zone. We've seen that exposed this year. When a Boston College gets you and then you come back and you play a Georgia Tech team that was 4-12 in the conference and they destroy you in the Courier Dome, I don't see them winning the chip.
Maybe just maybe this is their down point and they're going to pick it back up. I mean, I agree with you. Wake, if they can do well in the tournament, they might get a good NIT bid. If not NIT, maybe a very low NCAA bid because of that win. I'm just speculating here because, you know, Duke, North Carolina, they're about to play later today, and, you know, Carolina.
Because you got to also take into account they started the season 25-0. A lot of those games came down to the wire. A lot of those games came down to the wire. So they were just skating by, really.
But nonetheless, they started off 25-0. So it wasn't a bunch of cupcakes, but there were a few cupcakes. So, young man, March Madness is coming. This is a big gambling time and all that. Give me your top eight then. Your first four to, you know, lead the conferences and the number one overall, then your number twos.
Oh, I'm not even in that mode yet. I really got to sit down and look at all the conferences before I can give you all that. I've been caught up in this boxing for the past 2-3 months. So I got to sit down one weekend and get into all that, then I can give you all that info. Right now, I couldn't give you ones and twos.
Okay. Well, then we'll switch over. We'll switch over real quick. We'll move over to what you covered for the show last night, and I really wish you were able to take a laptop in there so you could stream play-by-play on the radio station. But maybe we'll work a deal out with somebody soon to do that.
I'll put you in contact with Keystone. They run a real great operation there. They have most of their fights at the Rosecroft Weightsway. So I'll put you in contact with their point person. You guys can discuss how to get that stream going.
There you go. That's all I need. That's all I need. That's why I can't do nothing without you and Jerry. I ain't going to lie to you. I am not going to lie to you. I can't afford to lose you nor Jerry. You both are like my right and left hand. You know what I mean? So, anyway, Mr. Wright was our correspondent at Rosecroft Raceway last night, tweeting and Facebooking round by round action. And Mike Yesenby-Reed defeated his opponent last night, from what I understand. He took my advice, body-body uppercut, body-body uppercut, from what I understand. So he needs to come back on the show and say, Vic, thanks for the information. You know, that's all I got to say.
I think Michael begged to death as his pops also had that same game plan. Shout out to Buck Reed, Mike's father. He would tell you didn't do anything.
Well, Buck had to get it from me. That's all. Buck got it from me. But anyway, let's hear this interview. Mike Wright, our bookie, our guy, deal with Mr. Mike Yesenby-Reed last night, Rosecroft Raceway, post-fight.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, out here at Rosecroft Raceway, out here with the fam, Mike Yesenby-Reed, just wrapped up the main event out here at Rosecroft. Mike, walk us through that first round. He came out real strong. I know there's a lot of trash talk going back and forth before the fight, but walk us through that first round.
I don't talk trash. You know, that's not even my nature, so I definitely won't do it with anybody. I actually heard, you know, on Instagram, you know, he was kind of talking out the side of his neck, talking about he was going to get his first knockout, you know. So I expected that, you know. I mean, if you're talking like that, you got to fight like that. I mean, he's a solid fighter. I think he fought the wrong fight, by far. You know what I mean? I don't know what his corner was telling him. I don't know what his camp was telling him, but he fought the wrong fight, you know?
Yeah, he definitely came out top heavy. He threw a lot of shots in that first round, but, you know, You had excellent boxing skills. You blocked a lot of those in the first round. I kind of saw you just playing a cat and mouse game with him. Walk us through the rest of the second through the sixth round.
Actually, at the end of the first round, I hit him with a body shot. I was on the ropes. You know, they say you don't get a lot of power when you're on the ropes, but I hit him with an uppercut to the body, and he grunted at me. And once he grunted at me, I knew that was going to be the key to the fight. Mm-hmm. And even before we got in the ring, my dad, you know, who's my trainer, he said he's top heavy. So mm-hmm. with him being top heavy, his legs are little. Yeah. You know, his legs are real bony. So he said, stay at his body and you'll get him. And that's exactly what I did.
And through that second, through sixth round, you did eat up that body quite a bit. And I was surprised at what the corner was telling him to do. I don't think he could execute the game plan any better than what you did tonight. What's the plan going forward?
Actually, I don't know. I'll probably take a day or two off, and then we'll go to the drawing boards. I was talking to my dad. You know, I don't feel any injuries, so the next thing, you know, I'm trying to go.
All right, we definitely appreciate it, man. I'm definitely happy. I always try to come out and see my man fight. Everything was canceled all the time. Finally got to see a fight. You definitely impressed me, brother. Definitely impressed me, man.
Once again, appreciate it. It's always good talking to you.
All right, good luck to you.
That was Mike, yes indeed, Reed, along with Mike Black, a.k.a. the Bookie Monster, right? Now, again, I want to reiterate, because I can play the sound when Mike comes back on the show. I'm definitely going to play the sound where I told him last week. I told Mike last week, body, uppercut. And what did he say when he was on the ropes and he hit him to the body with an uppercut? He went, did a Master P. Now, his dad, you heard it there, too. His dad said just before he went out, he's bony. I mean, he's top heavy, so body. I didn't even see the dude. And I'm giving Mike good advice.
Go ahead and Google Bilal Mahasan. And you'll see what me and Mike were talking about. It looked like while he was in, because, you know, he was in for a while, that all he worked on was upper body.
That's cool. But Mike S. and D. Reed owes me some money now. I gave him some good fighting advice. That's all I'm saying. I told him on the show last week, I said, Mike, I'm like a drug. I'm like crack. The first taste is free. When you come back, it's going to cost you. So I'm just saying, you know, I give great advice. But anyway. So tell us a little bit about last night. You know,
great card put on by Keystone. I was very impressed. There were six fights throughout the whole night. After the second fight, it took a pause in the action to show Dusty, as all the home teams in the hall, to show Dusty on the big screen with his fight from ESPN Friday Night Fights live on the big screen. Dusty ran into a bit of a trouble. He was supposed to handle this guy pretty solidly, but he got knocked down in the second round. So that was kind of surprising. Teddy Atlas kind of called him out, which we'll discuss with Dusty probably sometime in the future. They would like to see him take a step up in competition. I mean, the kid had 200 amateur fights, and he's currently 21-0 right now. They want to see him take a step up in competition, but Dusty got surprised last night. So we'll discuss that on another show, but everybody that was on the card, Riccio, Mike Reed, great fights throughout the whole night. We're definitely going to build a relationship with Keystone Boxing people to try to work out a stream, maybe a live stream of the action. So
exactly.
I'll put in contact with those people, and we'll see if we can make those guys push and do something. But I was definitely glad to be there. I got to give a shout-out to Pro-Am Fight Talk, my man Juan Marshall. Going through some health struggles. Last night was his first night back out on the scene. Got to give love to also Gary Digital Williams, who runs Beyond the Beltway, Boxing on the Beltway blog, the best blog in the D.C. area for boxing. Those guys were in the house. DeMarcus Chop Chop Cooley was in the house. Ty Barnett, a former guest on the show, also in the house. A lot of area boxers. It was just a great night for boxing in the DMV. Great night for boxing.
Sounds great. I was hoping to get Daryl and Corey on the show today. I'm not sure what's the status of that, but
I'll send them a text and see what's going on. I think Corey might be at work. Corey is like a Jamaican. He's always at work. But I'll try to give I try to give my guy a check and see what's going on today.
Hey, don't worry about it. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But the one question I
saw, I actually was supposed to see him there last night, but he wasn't able to make it out.
It's all good. It's all good. He missed a good card. That's all. But the one question I do have for Corey is, you know, after high school, you know, we played Roosevelt, and all I could remember is this big dude running down the field. He ran me over. But
who didn't he?
Why? Well, this is why I got to get the question to him.
Who didn't he run over? I mean, me and Corey are from the same class. At the peak, 6'6", 295 pounds of man.
I
remember being at Roosevelt and seeing Bobby Bowden, seeing Steve Spurrier in D.C. on the sidelines to scout this man, along with the Tennessee's coach at the time. And he chose boxing. I couldn't believe it.
That's my question, dude. Why not be one and done in college and be a number one or a first-round draft pick? Because he had the size. He had the aggression. He had it all. And he chose boxing. That is my one question for this guy. You know, so it is what it is, man. It is what it is. That's the one question I got for Corey when he does decide to come on or is able to come on. And I would love to hear him and Duro go back and forth. Apparently they were supposed to have some type of comedic relief going on with each other today, but sorry, fans, we were unable to deliver that Thursday or today. No big problem.
Oh, and also, before we move on, I would be remiss if I didn't thank my guy Lawrence Shavakin, who's currently handling all the media for Mike Reed. Definitely a big shout out to him. Also, lawyer Keystone Box for hooking up the media contact for me to get that media pass for the fights.
There you go. Always gotta give love to him. Always and forever, give him love, because you never know what happens in the future. You might be taken along for the ride. But a couple things I want to get into. And again, great interview. Glad you were able to get out there and handle things and put stuff out there, because, you know, again, this show would be nothing without you and JT and Jeff. I can't forget, Jesus, forgot his name, Mac. We don't speak or hang out or nothing like that, but, you know, he continually puts on a quality show as well and enlightening the folks. So I want to thank everybody that's a part of it. I wish Sylvia well. I would love to have her back, but, you know, it is what it is. She's out doing her thing, and hopefully one day she might return. But anyway, fantasy baseball is what I got on my mind, along with the brackets, bracketology. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are interested in joining a bracketology college basketball tourney pick'em, Fantasy Sports and Politics has its own on Yahoo. All you got to do is look up Fantasy Sports and Politics. That's all you got to do. I'm looking to have people join, have some fun. I'm not going to charge anything for it, only because I have no way of collecting the funds accurately from everyone, because I can tell you put it in PayPal. I can tell you put it in LeapSafe. But if you don't do it, you know, it's not good for me or for business. But go to yahoo.com, $1 billion bracket challenge, fantasy sports and politics. Look it up, join it. You can have up to 3 brackets in there. So have fun with it, okay? With that being said, 9 teams have joined the Fantasy Baseball League. Next week, right here, live on the air, we will be doing our live fantasy baseball draft. We will have at least 10 teams. We will have at least 10 teams. So get ready for that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm all about having fun. I'm all about doing fantasy sports. That's why we're called Fantasy Sports and Politics. The political side of sports,
along with the fantasy side. You bring them both together, and you get a great product, and you get us, giving you information, motivation, and variety. We got 44 minutes left of the show, so I wanted to get a little bit more into baseball and talk about this Mike Trout situation. Are you familiar with the Mike Trout situation, Mr. Wright? Black.
Give me two seconds.
All right. Not a problem. Well, ladies, as you know, Mike Trout, young guy, 22 years old, is a Los Angeles Angels or Anaheim Angels outfielder. And he is a very, very talented player. I mean, the guy is gifted. He is gifted beyond belief. And he was slated to only make $500,000 this year. I say only like I have $500,000. But for his talent and what he brings to the organization, that is solely undervalued. I mean, very undervalued. So, a week or so ago, Jerry and I were on the air and we discussed possible scenarios. Give him a 5-year contract, 7-year contract, whatever it is, at a certain dollar amount. And I said, well, let him play out 1 year. 1 year, and then go on the free agent market. Yes, Los Angeles will probably still try to keep him, but I think he will go to Boston. Boston will pay him more, and he will be able to surround himself with, if not the same or better, team. Now, Anaheim has good pitching. They've got good bats. The reason why I say good is because Albert Pujols isn't as good as he used to be, and Hamilton is no longer the power hitter that he was as well. Besides that, you don't have that much there. But let's hear what Albert Pujols has to say about Mike Trout.
If he can stay healthy, you know, he's going to be one of the best players that ever put this uniform on. And it's really excited. The most that I admire about him is how hungry he is every day to try to get better and to try and learn, you know, that he doesn't take anything for granted.
And that's important, especially for a young talent that's going into a career field that's full of 40-somethings, 30-somethings, but to be considered the top of your sport in only your second year. Well, going on third year, I should say. Third year. And you're still looking to get better. You're looking to do improvements to your game, which is hitting, as well as playing outfield, which isn't an easy job. Not at all. So I think Mike Trout, what Albert Pujols said is, you know, if he stays healthy, he has the ability to be the best in the game. That's saying something. At one point, Albert Pujols was considered the best in the game. Great compliment from that young man to our home team, because I am a homer. I do like my Washington Nationals. Black likes the Nationals as well. Bryce Harper. Now, Black, what do you see happening with the Nationals? Because they've got some good pitching. They've got a good set of bats. What do you see going on, guy? I guess he needs more than 2 seconds, which is fine. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, baseball is in full swing. And I'm just going to break down the Washington Nationals real quick as far as moves and roster positions and what it is that I think everybody, in the world of baseball is so
ooey-gooey about. I mean, I'm being serious here. Last year, they were the sexy pick, you know, to do things. Did they stumble out the gate? Yes. Did they run into problems? Yes. Were they able to rectify them? No. But this year, I see something special. I really do. I see a lot of special stuff happening with the Washington Nationals. If I were back in D.C., I'd be getting me a nice pack for me and my kids. Now, again, I'm not the end-all, be-all as it comes to baseball. That would be JTATM Money. He knows more, or his mom knows more about, you know, baseball than any of us. She put him on and gave him the, I guess, the prowess to, I don't know, to be successful fantasy baseball. What we've done is pretty much gotten together and looked at the Nationals and did some signings.
World Series. World Series or bust.
World Series or, well, yeah, it is World Series or bust. I'm not going to say or bust, but, you know, a right-handed pitcher, Blake Schwartz, came up to the Nationals. Infielder Jason Martinson, Taylor Hill, Destin Hood, Cutter Dykstra, who is Lenny Dykstra's child, Steven Perez. This is all in recent days, but if I'm not mistaken, didn't the Nationals sign Johan Santana to a minor league deal?
I believe they did. World Series or bust, my friend. Get your Nationals gear out. Get ready. Had a good outing in the Grateful League just the other day. Gio Gonzalez, I believe, pitched two innings, allowed one hit. I think it's Hopper, and I'm not sure if it was Jason Worth or somebody else, Max Holmes. We're looking good early on. Plenty of talent on that team. Plenty of talent.
And I apologize. It was Johan went to the Orioles. He went to the Orioles for a spring training invite. But let's break down what they got.
We don't like. So far. We don't like to mention those. We don't like to mention those Orioles.
I got you, bro. But let's break down what's going on with the Nationals. You know, you've got
Papa cut the bit.
Well, let's look at our starting rotation. You got AJ. You got Strasburg. You got Doug Fister. You got a couple other great or good pitchers up there, but that 1-2-3 is pretty good. What do you think?
It's solid. I expect to be trying to take out loans.
You want to take out loans on what? We have some technical difficulties with Mike Wright right now. But I think these guys are doing a excellent job in building this franchise. You know, folks have said that we are not, and I say we, because I'm a Nationals fan, I'm from the area, we are not a baseball town. I disagree. Young talent like Bryce Harper, you got what's the beard guy? I forgot him. He came from the Phillies. He's up. Jason Worth, who is pretty good. You know, he came on last year and really picked up the team with all the injuries. You got Ian Desmond. You got Doug Fister, Gio Gonzalez, Strasburg. You got a lot of good stuff going on in the city of Washington that the Atlanta Braves better watch out. you know, the New York Mets better watch out. I'm not worried about Philly. I'm really not. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not worried about them at all. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. The Marlins, I'm not worried about them either. Not at all. You there, Black? All right, we still got some technical difficulties with Mike, but that's okay. What I'm going to do real quick, is I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of commercials. When I come back, we're going to talk a little football, just a little football, nothing too big, nothing too heavy. I want you to sit back and enjoy. We'll be back in about two and a half minutes. Here we go.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports, like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others? Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of Fantasy Sports and Politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. Sitting in with me right now is my co-host, not JTH and Money, but the Bookie Monster, Black the Bookie. Black, you still there? All right, Black stepped away for a minute. We're having some issues with his phone. But for the time being, I want to get to some football topics now. And we talked about baseball. We talked about boxing. We talked about basketball. Time to get to some football. Free agency.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Black. I can hear you now. So let me just jump right into it. Darren Sproles gets cut yesterday. Lance Moore was already cut. Talking about Pierre Thomas all probably on his way out. New Orleans is cleaning the house to make room for Jimmy Graham's money. What are your thoughts on Darren Sproles getting cut? Where do you think he's going to land, and what is going to be the makeup of the New Orleans Saints next year? Black?
You said what?
Okay. Darren Sproles just got cut today, right? They're shopping Pierre Thomas.
Lance Moore has already been cut. What do you think is the impact of Darren Sproles getting cut to New Orleans Saints? Where do you think he'll land? And how will New Orleans look next year?
I think they'll be okay. I'm not sure of a landing spot for Sproles particularly, but I think they'll be okay. Sean Payton has a way of working with what he has, as he used to do in Dallas, what he's doing now in New Orleans. So I think they'll be okay. But as far as a landing spot for Sproles, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure.
So is Jimmy Graham worth all these people getting cut and the money? I mean, you know, he tweeted like he was shocked. I don't think he was making it up, but he tweeted like he was shocked. And but they're doing this so they can make money.
Is this all for Jimmy Graham? Is that what's going on? This is all for Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, because he wants to be paid like a wide receiver. And the arbitrator might, you know, go in that favor of saying, okay, well, since he was split out so many times and, you know, he did this, that, and the third, that, yes, he should be labeled as a wide receiver. So the difference in wide receiver top money versus tight end top money is about $5 million a year. So if the arbitrator decrees that, yes, Jimmy Graham is worth, you know, being paid as a wide receiver, there's a lot of money that needs to come off the books for New Orleans in order for him to be paid. So right now,
Jimmy Graham was what did they say, 68% of the plays? He lined up a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham is worth every dollar that he's looking for.
But in order to do that, you got to get rid of some of your key players. Darren Sproles, that's 71 passes that somebody else is going to have to catch.
They had a lot of running backs in that backfield, so I don't think that would be too bad. They had a lot of running backs back there.
Well, they're getting rid of him and Pierre Thomas. They're talking about they're shopping Pierre Thomas, and Pierre might be cut. They don't probably find a trade partner. But Kenny Stills kind of stepped up for Lance Moore because I can see that.
I just was going to mention Kenny Stills from Oklahoma. Kenny Stills is there. They'll be okay. They'll be okay.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on to another set of free agents here. So after Darren Sproles, you got Jarius Byrd. I like this guy. I really do. He's a bigger and I think just a little bit better Earl Thomas, in my opinion. The reason why is because both guys are impact players on the secondary. Byrd is more of a ball guy. He catches the ball a lot better than Earl Thomas does. Both of them come down in the box and hit. Both of them can cover. Where do you think Byrd lands? Does he land in Atlanta? I think that's where he goes. Or does he land somewhere like, let's say, Dallas? Let's say
no money. No Dallas out of any equation. No money. No money for that. I wouldn't be surprised if Snyder's not on the horn already.
Well, that's what I mean, because you put him back there. They already got rid of DeCloud, I can't remember his name right now. So they need a new corner, I mean a new safety. You know, maybe in Carolina with that defense, you know, he doesn't have to do much. He has a beast front seven, so I don't know. But there's a lot of people that say that this guy, Jarius Byrd, is going to make a killing this free agency season within the next 3.5 days, and he is the top sought-after guy. I disagree with that. I think Michael Vick is that guy. But, you know, it is what it is.
I would love to have him in Dallas. I would love to have him and the recently off of suspension, Brandon Browner. And I'd be surprised if he isn't making that call as well.
Is Brown going to be able to come back to Seattle, or is he done?
Brandon Brown is a free agent. Any team that signs him has to deal with the four-game suspension.
Well, he already did the four games.
No, no. He'll have a brand-new four-game suspension for this season. You'll have him
really?
After the four game. Yeah.
Hmm. I didn't know that. I thought he was just he served his time, and, you know, you would come back, and then the next one would be a year-long suspension. But, okay. Didn't know that. But who's willing to do that, though? Who's willing to do that?
I'm sure Snyder's willing to do that.
All right, well, let's go down the list. I'm on NFL.com, so let's go down their top 101 free agents.
I wouldn't rank Vic so high.
Why not?
Injury prone.
I got it, but he's a in-between guy for you to get you to your next quarterback at this point in his career. I mean, you got a couple teams out there that can pay him an incentive-based salary. You know, Minnesota is allegedly going to re-sign Matt Castle. You know, I don't think that's a good idea because he's not that in-between guy. Between, like, if you get Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota, Teddy Bridgewater is going to start. You know, I think, what's the guy from Central Florida? Bortles?
Well,
yeah, he has the potential to start right away. You know, I'm hearing that Garoppolo and Carr are leapfrogging your boy Johnny Manziel. So, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, well, let's go down this list real quick. We've got a couple of people. Altron Werner, T.J. Ward, Aqib Talib. Where do you see these guys land? These are top-tier cornerbacks. And safeties, and they're impactful. Where do you see these guys landing? All right, he's having technical difficulties with you over there. Okay, well, let's do this. I think Mike and Mike on ESPN had made the comment that you might see Aqib in Washington. Because of Raheem Morris. Now, the only problem I have with that is, there you go, I hear you doing something black. Only problem I have with Aqib Talib going to Washington is there is no locker room structure to keep that guy in line. London Fletcher stepped away, and he's not, there is no strong, dominant guy. And Dante Hall was just paid 5 years and some change. And Chris Wilson isn't bad. And we also already invested in some cornerbacks in the draft last year. But I would love to see Aqib in D.C. because he's that good. I'd like to see T.J. Ward in that, on the backside playing safety. That would be awesome. With Bakari Rambo. But I don't know. We got J.T. Etienne Money on the line, along with Black the Bookie. I'm not sure if Black's technical difficulties have been fixed or not, but we bring
Vic,
in.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Let me bring in the master real quick and get his thoughts on some of these free agents and where they might land. I named T.J. Ward, Aqib Talib, Altron Werner, and we talked about Darren Sproles briefly, seems though, in my opinion, he's the hottest free agent out there right now that he's got cut. Jerry.
What's up?
Did you hear me?
I heard every word you said. Aqib Talib. Wow.
Can't miss a season.
Excuse me?
Can't finish a season.
Can't finish. Well, you're right about that. How about him going to Dallas?
No. They don't have a match. And I don't want them to go.
Darren Sproles is very, very interesting. Wow. I'm trying to think who would absolutely love Darren Sproles.
Maybe he goes back to San Diego.
Back to San
Diego.
They got a jack of all trades in Danny Woodhead. How about, now this would be intriguing, how about Darren Sproles going to Jacksonville?
That's interesting.
How about Darren Sproles going to Jacksonville? They have a young running back there, and they can use a change of pace back, and Darren Sproles could fit that bill. So.
All right. Okay. Well, let's go with Altron Verner and T.J. Ward.
T.J. Ward. How about T.J. Ward? He's coming from, where is he coming from?
Cleveland.
Cleveland. How about T.J. Ward, where they need safety help a lot, to Denver?
The rich get richer? What do you think about that, Black? I don't know about that one. What you got?
T.J. Ward to where? To Denver?
Yeah.
I'm blah about it.
He's blah about it. I'm trying to think who else would need safety help in the worst
Washington.
Way. I don't know about Washington. God. I don't know. You know, I don't know if anybody wants to go to Washington, man. I hate to
really?
Say it like that, but.
Really?
But because, well, for the simple fact, they may consider that to be a dysfunctional situation until they can actually see what Jay Gruden is going to do with that team. Things are up in the air. He's an offensive-minded coach. You still have the same defensive coordinator in Haslett, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't know why, but T.J. Ward to Washington? I don't know about that one, man. I'm thinking Denver. I'm trying to think who else would definitely need safety help. There's a few teams that need safety help, but I can't off the top of my head think of them right now other than Denver.
Okay, not a problem. Altron Verner, who's a cornerback, a very good cornerback at that.
Wow. Well, I hate to say it, but I know Denver needs cornerback help. I know the Texans definitely need cornerback help. Trying to think who else needs it. Who got torched in the about the Patriots? For the simple fact is, if Keith Tlaib is leaving, why not Altron Verner taking his spot?
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. Okay, let's move on and let's talk about a couple other players that I think are interesting. DJ Raji, you know, the discount double check guy. Hakeem Nicks. We already know where Jermichael Finley is. He's tied up in the back of your utility truck. But I still want to know what you think about.
You are a funny person. You are a funny person.
Not coming out anytime soon either.
You got that right. I'm holding on to him as tight as I can.
Let's keep it moving here. DJ Raji. DJ Raji can play
the two gap. He can play over the nose tackle. But is he a guy that you're going to spend money on?
I hope we can get him for $2 because I would love to have him in Dallas.
For $2? No, no discount double check there, buddy.
Well,
I mean,
staying in the NFC East, the New York Football Giants could use B.J. Raji.
They sure could. And they're clearing space, so they're going to have money. They're going to have money.
Right.
Especially if they don't sign Hakeem Nicks, who's another guy I got down here. Where does Hakeem land? And
good luck. Good luck.
Any money.
Good luck. Hakeem Nicks, good luck. Wide receiver that can't stay healthy. Hold on there.
And when's the last time he completed a whole season? I have a very hard time every time I think about it or that name comes up of him going somewhere that somebody's going to take a chance on him because his history is that he doesn't stay healthy. And his work ethic may be questioned also.
So he's like a Josh Freeman type guy.
Yeah, but the
running
wide receiver version.
Okay. Well, here's another guy I'm really interested in, and I honestly hope the Redskins go after this guy. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Redskins fan, but I think it will be a good fit in their system. He's young, he's aggressive, and he's mature. Talking about Brandon Spikes, who says it's time for him and Boston area or him and the Patriots to part ways, which is very interesting. You know, a young cat, super aggressive, very talented, but is ready to leave. Where does Brandon Spikes land?
Ooh. Brandon Spikes.
And Tampa Bay just cut their middle linebacker, by the way. Well, they re-signed him? No, they re-signed him. Okay.
Good, a solid middle linebacker. Wow. Trying to think who would need a middle linebacker. Off the top of my head, I drawn a blank.
What you got, Black, since Jerry don't know nothing right now?
Since Houston Texans?
Well, they got Cush.
That's, I'm going to say they got Brian Cush in there. I mean, he's the last few seasons he hasn't been healthy, but where's he going to play?
You need all the help you can get.
I was thinking of the Houston Texans, but we have Cush in there, and I don't know if there's a situation – or a spot that would be beneficial for the Texans to put him in.
I'll take him as well since my man Sean Lee can't stay on the field.
That's true, but y'all can't afford him.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm glad you happened to say that, Black, because one of the weaker points of the Giants is the linebacker position. Even though they had John Beeson there. What about him going to the Giants? Or what about him going to the Washington Redskins? Lyndon Fletcher's not there.
Well, yeah, that's what I said, and that's what I hope,
mm-hmm.
because it would
mm-hmm.
be a very good situation for the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
They upgrade by youth. He's already experienced. He's already mature. They need a new leader, and the kid has the ability to do all those things. So, yeah, I would love to see him in burgundy and gold. That still won't help our secondary situation. So unless our safety, Bakari Rambo, you know, gets better, we're going to be short. Unless we get, I would like to get Spikes and TJ Ward. That's what I would like. If we can get both of those, or even somehow get Jarius Byrd, you know, that would make me very happy. The draft is now on May 2nd or May 8th. I think it's May 8th. Whereas we get to see who's going to do what and who's going to go where. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, that there are a ton of free agents out there, a ton of big names, some that are old, some that are young. And the NFL is they're in a situation where they can win just by going ahead and showcasing these guys from here until the draft on NFL Network. You know, they, you know, Road to the Draft or Hey Rookie, whatever the case may be. You got a lot of young talent that are free agents that are going to get paid. And then you got some guys that are coming into college, coming out of college, that are possibly impactful players. Sort of like, have you taken Eden too? Plus, you're a nonprofit. So you make all this money, you don't have to give a lot of it to people. And these guys go around, bust their butts, and do what they got to do to make money. And they entertain us. Football, you got to love it. All right, I've been, you know, just talking. We got 7 minutes left alive there. I'm going to say this. Tomorrow, the master plan, JKK Money will be working. I'm not sure if he's going to be holding it down with Red Fantasy. But
yes, I'm going to be on the air. It's going to be an hour show exactly. So I have to be somewhere just right after the show. We're going to be talking about fantasy baseball. I understand that we're one short of a 10-team league.
Yes, we are, and it's the Reverend that said he was going to join. So I need the press. Put the press on him.
Okay. I understand.
All right. So tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, it will be the Master Plan JTH and Money along with the Rev himself, Rev Fantasy, doing what they do because they do it for you, talking about some fantasy baseball, getting you ready for it. Then on Thursdays, you got Mike Wright, Jeff the Joker, along with Jerry ATM Taylor, FSP Crew Show, holding down live and direct. And Black, I just got the Facebook message from you, so I'll be in touch with those people very soon. Also, on Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you've got No Chaser, Mike Williams, Jerry Taylor. Will the guest be coming on this week, JT, or no?
I have, we have the CEO of, oh, my God, Wall Up, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I'll be in touch, or Mac will be in touch on who exactly it is. But we do have a guest coming on No Chaser.
All right. Then next week on this here radio station, you will be privy to a live baseball draft. There will be some trades because I plan to trade a couple picks. Hopefully somebody will trade with me. But if not, I'll make it do what it do because I do what it do. You dig? Live and direct on the air. We will do our fantasy baseball draft. And about that time, March Madness, ladies and gentlemen, get your brackets in. If you haven't done so, go to Yahoo Sports. Go to Billion Dollar Bracket. Look up Fantasy Sports and Politics and join. And join. We're going to have some fun. Waiting for a Black the Bookie to jump in there. It's free. No fee. We'll see what happens. I'm going to go around the horn real quick, and then we're going to get out of here. Black, what do you got to share with people?
Man, please tune in to Fox Sports 1, Georgetown and Villanova. I think if we don't win this game, it's a wrap for the tournament. So hopefully we can get upset. I need all the support I can get. I wore my Georgetown hat out to the Rosecroft last night. Plenty of Georgetown guys are there I met last night. We were all hoping and praying that we can get in this tournament thing. But once you're in, anything can happen. So please, pray for it. Hold your Saxon.
All right, okay. All right. JT?
For myself, I'm interested and I'm anxious to see or excited to see what's going to happen come March 11th. And see who some of these named players and where they're going, because it's going to have a impact on fantasy. So I'm really excited to see this free agency for one, because there's a lot of players this year in free agency that can help quite a few teams, and maybe some of them help teams get over the top. So
okay. Well, we know the Houston Texans need help and that you want the Texans to do well. So,
Absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I hope they get very corrupted.
real quick, because I know there was some rumor about your boy Matt Castle going down to Houston. The report is now that he's going to sign with Minnesota, resign with Minnesota. Would you have mind seeing him in Houston?
Well, I'm not a real Matt Castle fan. I want a young quarterback. We have two young quarterbacks now, three really. Matt Schaub, he's not a young quarterback, but he's still on the roster, along with Casey Keenum and T.J. Yates. Somebody's going to have to go. Quite naturally, I'm thinking of Matt Schaub. You got a nice quarterback group there, bring in a nice fresh college rookie, and get Jadeveon Clowney, and we go from there.
Okay, that's what you got. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all I got to say is that this time next week, Vic will be celebrating his championship draft along with his team to be a championship team. So, for those listening out there in the world, we are the best. I am the best. My guys are the best. And just know that you can't stop us because we are unstoppable. JT, get us out of here real quick.
From Black, Vic, and myself that got 15 jobs and trying to make that money, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.